You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Saturday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:15pm with Luke Elder, Rory Delaghi and John Budden in the studio. A good day to look forward to as well. It's Eclipse Day at Sandown. That Group 1 contest is the feature race of the day. We've also got Haydock, where they've got a couple of good races there, the Lancashire Oaks and the Old Newton Cup. Beverley and Leicester alongside that, Carlisle, Nottingham and Bellewstown in the evening. Plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio is Craig Forsyth. How are you, Craig?
Yeah, all is well, Mark. All is well.
Good. Good man. It's a good weekend, isn't it? Eclipse weekend. Good racing at Sandown. Good racing at Haydock as well. And plenty of action to get stuck into. We're going to look at the best of it, but a real good weekend, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Some good handicaps. Obviously, the Old Newton Cup at Haydock. We've got the Lancashire Oaks there as well. We've got the Eclipse at Sandown, which is obviously the highlight on the Sandown card, and it's all round. There's some real good betting opportunities this weekend, Mark.
Yeah, we'll get your thoughts on those races shortly. We'll talk about a little bit of news. There's not really too much to talk about sometimes when we do these before the weekend, because all the stories will be written on Saturday. But interesting little article around James McDonald, the New Zealand born jockey who's made a name for himself in Australia riding for Godolphin, come over here and made a name for himself in Britain as well, at the first time of asking, really. Landing the Northumberland Plate last weekend, and you'll have been there, so do you like what you see?
I did. Yeah, very much so. It was very profitable, Mark, and he's been across for the last few years in short stints, hasn't he, and he's impressed, but, you know, it was a new track to him, riding Newcastle, a little bit of inexperience, and, you know, to be fair to him, he's ridden the horse really well, Antiquarium, and came with a late charge to win. Obviously been riding for Godolphin in Australia, and you know, once he gets experience of all the different tracks here, he'll be another useful proposition to the squad of jockeys that they currently have. They have a real good squad at the moment, and yeah. James McDonald, another name that should be riding plenty winners.
Yeah, and whilst it's misfortune for William Buick to pick up the ban, he's got a 30-day ban due to his riding and his actions afterwards. It also opens up an opportunity, yeah, doesn't it, for McDonald, which you have to... I'm trying to think of how to word this. It's obviously bad news for Buick, but to get your chance, sometimes you need somebody to suffer a bit of bad luck.
Yeah, indeed, Mark. And particularly at this time of year, for instance, on Saturday, we've got two excellent cards, one at Sandown, one at Haydock. You know, Godolphin, they've got horses at all the principal meetings. There's going to be some exciting opportunities there. So, you know, James McDonald has definitely got the talent to seize his opportunity here and take this opportunity to ride a few winners.
Anything else on your mind? I mean, it's a good time of year for racing as well. We've got the July meeting coming up next week. We're not a million miles away from glorious Goodwood as well. It's really kicked into the summer swing of racing, haven't we?
Yeah, it is now, Mark. It's busy, and obviously we're at the stage of the season now where the early two-year-olds, you know, are coming to, I wouldn't say the end, but it's a different type of two-year-old that are making the debuts now, more back-end types that will be better next year at three. So, you know, this is the part of the season where it does start to change. We're seeing more three-year-olds taking on the older horses in handicaps, and it's all good stuff. It really is. It's a busy time, and hopefully a profitable time. That's the main thing, Mark.
Yeah, hopefully so. At this time of year, with the two-year-olds, is it more of a case of obviously trying to get the result on the day, but more of a notebook time of year?
Yeah.
Were you making a note of them when they grow into three-year-olds?
Definitely. Particularly when you see them, obviously you can see some of them are really backward when they're sent to the race course at this stage of their careers. It's all about the experience for them. You know, it's the first stage, really, and you know, next year they grow up and mature, and you know, they're looking entirely different horse. So you know, as you say, it's not all about the day when the centre of the track, it's all about the learning curve for some of these big backward types.
Yeah. Let's leave it there anyway. Let's get stuck into Saturday's racing. We're going to look at four races. Craig has got them picked out for us. It's one race at Haydock and three from Sandown, and we'll get his thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, what we'll do is we'll spin through the race at Haydock to start with, and then we'll go through the three races at Sandown. So it won't be in chronological order, but we'll do it in meeting order instead. The 250 at Haydock, therefore, is where we start. The Old Newton Cup, a heritage handicap over a mile and a half, a Class 2 event, a big field here as well. 18 of them in the lineup, and Giretto heads the market at 5-1. 11-2 for Desert Encounter. Greenlight 8-1. First sitting 9-1 with Tordia. 14-1 for Snow and O, 16's Waters Meet and Penglai Pavilion, 16-1 also for Barrick, and 18's or bigger for the rest. Those prices obviously correct at the time of recording this. And Giretto heading the market there, Craig, but did finish behind Greenlight, who I thought was very impressive at Epsom last time. So is the betting the right way around there?
I have to say I would definitely have Greenlight shorter than Giretto. The two met, as you said, Mark at Epsom. And Greenlight, who has been a little bit keen in the past, settled much better and sprinted clear and won really well. Has gone up £7 for that success, but he's still a horse that is capable of better. But he needs to continue to go the right way. He needs to continue to settle in the early part of his races. But I do think, once again, he can get the better of Giretto.
Either of those two on the shortlist to win the race for you then?
No, they're not, Mark. You know, you look back at the last few renewals of this race, and the last four have gone to horses drawn in double-figure stalls. I think, you know, some of these horses and drawn in low numbers can get trapped in a pocket, and sometimes it's a disadvantage to be drawn on the inside. And two of the last four winners have been drawn in stall 19. And this year, Tim Easterby's likeable sort, Snoano, is the horse that has that draw, and a horse that won the Queen Mother Cup at York last time travelled through that race particularly strongly and came home without really being knocked about. I thought one with a fair bit up its sleeve, previously trained by John Gosden, hasn't been with Tim all that long, but you know, he's found a little bit of improvement from the horse, and he's only gone up £5 for the York success. And the fast pace, you know, drawn wide is going to suit the horse because he's a holder performer. So, you know, that's actually a positive for this horse to be drawn out in stall 19. And he can just creep his way in under Rachel Richardson. And I think he'll play a big part in the finish, Snoano.
So Snoano, the selection then. Any others you want to mention as dangers in there?
Yeah, Paddy's Motorbike ran really well when last seen at Newmarket. We haven't seen him for 2 months since then. But that was a real good run behind Oasis Fantasy. I think he should go reasonably well, you know, and he will be a decent price, round about the 20-1 mark for David Evans. And obviously, you know, we touched on Greenlight already. He's got to be on any shortlist after that success last time.
Okay. But all in all, Snoano is the selection.
Snoano, good, decent each way bet. What are we talking about, round about the 12-1 mark each way?
14
each way, yeah. You know, and comes here clearly in good heart. We know that from York. And I'm going to stick with this horse here to back up that success.
Let's move over to Sandown then. Some good racing to look at there. We'll finish with the Eclipse, but we start in the 2 o'clock at Sandown, which was the Sprint Stakes, a Group 3 contest over 5 furlongs. Brando heads the market here, 5-2. Spirit Quartz is 5-1. 7-1 for Logout Island. Monsieur Joe, 8-1. 11's for Jane's Memory. 12 Duke of Firenze and Lancelot Delac. And 14-1 are bigger prices for the others. A lot of people will be drawn to Brando here, Craig. Superb effort at Royal Ascot, one finishing second behind Outback Traveller in the Wokingham, only going down ahead on that occasion as well. Bit of compensation maybe here?
Yes, obviously takes a step up in class, Mark, from Handicap Company into Patent Company. First time into a Group 3, but you know, right from the early days in his career, he's looked like a horse that could easily make his mark at group level. You know, I didn't think the Wokingham, to be honest, would be his race, but I have to put my hands up and say I got it completely wrong because he was only beaten by a head. You know, I think the Wokingham's a race where you want a horse to travel strongly, you know, for a sprinter and quicken as well. Where Brando, for me, he's more a horse that's all out, you know, throughout his race. He's a big bull of a sprinter that gives his all. And I think the 5 furlongs at Sandown will definitely suit much better. He is drawn in stall 8, which is the only concern. There's a little bit of a bias on the 5 furlong track at Sandown. Usually suits the lower drawn horses, but I don't think it should be too much of a concern, really, for Kevin Ryan's likeable sprinter here. And he gets his chance to prove his class in this kind of company for the first time. He should be well up to the task here.
He's a favourite then. Sounds like you think he's a worthy favourite. Main danger in there? Anything that's going to upset him?
Once your Joe bounced back to form in a classified race at Hamilton earlier in the week, but it was only, you know, only beat three rivals. So wasn't a lot of strength and depth to that. Logout Island disappointed in the Commonwealth Cup at Ascot. It's a real good opportunity. One that could outrun his odds here is Willie the Conqueror. You know, well drawn in stall four, runs this track really well. He's won and been second here in his last four starts, and at a bigger price, you know, 14-1, I think Willie the Conqueror could be the one that offers a little bit each way value, but the most likely winner, Brando.
Brando then in the 2 o'clock at Sandown. Let's move on to the 3:10 at Sandown next. This is the Distaff Fillies listed race over a mile for the 3-year-old fillies. We've got Snow Moon at the top of the market at 100-30, 4-1 for Sharaka, Wilhelmina 9-2, 6-1 for Make Fast, Raki is 8, 12-1 or bigger for the others. So some pretty unexposed ones down at the bottom of the weights there. Snow Moon and Wilhelmina pretty prominent in the betting as well. Do you think it's going to go to a lightly raced 3-year-old in here?
I do, Mark, definitely. I think the three at the bottom of the list here are the three that will probably fight out the finish. Starting with Sharaka, a horse that, you know, ran really well at Royal Ascot in the Sandringham, finished a real good third. You know, the two that beat her on that occasion are very useful types. They'll be making the mark in Pat and company for sure, and that was a real good performance. Snow Moon was given an awful lot to do at Newbury last time in a listed race. You know, came from some way back, doing all her best work at the finish. She ran on well to take third, very eye-catching. You know, she's the one that is definitely open to the most improvement in this field and could well be up to the task here. And Wilhelmina, you know, absolutely routed her field in a maiden at Newmarket. Needs to step up a little bit on the bare form of that maiden win, but you know, early days where they only had two starts and another improving type. But I do think Snow Moon is the horse open to the most improvement by some way of this field, and you would expect Frankie to have her slightly closer to the pace here than she was last time at Newbury, and she could well be up to this task.
Snow Moon then for Craig in the 3:10, and we finish off in the 3:45 at Sandown, the big race of the afternoon, the Eclipse Stakes, which is a British Champion Series race, a group one over a mile and a quarter. It's for 3-year-olds and older, and we have a 3-year-old at the top of the betting in the shape of the Gurkha, who's at odds on at 10-11. Time Test 3-1, 9-2 for My Dreamboat. Hawkbill is 8, 14s for Western Hymn, 66-1 for Bravery, and Countermeasure the 200-1 outsider here. It's been noted that 3-year-olds don't have a particularly good record in the Eclipse. Craig, that was obviously broken by Golden Horn, and the previous winner, there was a 3-year-old before, that was See the Stars, so you've got to be a pretty good 3-year-old to win the Eclipse.
Indeed.
Is the Gurkha up to that level?
I don't think he is, Mark. He's been priced up here as if, you know, he won this in James's Palace Stakes.
Mm.
You know, everybody's seen the trouble he got into. Ryan Moore was held up with a run, doing all his best work late on. And everybody's assuming he would have won with a clear passage. I don't think that is, you know, definitely the case for me. And he's been priced up as if he was the winner of that race at 10-11.
Mm.
And I think the market is underestimating some of his opponents here for sure. And he takes on some really useful types, Mark. I think he is too short at his current odds of 10-11. Obviously, you would expect to see him ridden a lot more prominently than he was at Royal Ascot. The extra 2 furlongs is going to be in his favour, and the track should also suit his style.
Yeah.
So there's a number of things that, you know, could bring about more improvement in the Gurkha. But I think there's some really useful horses in here, and Time Test is a horse that, you know, I've been talking up for some time now. Ever since he won the Tercentenary Stakes at Royal Ascot in 2015, where he clocked a sensational time. Visually, he looked very impressive, and for me, you know, produced the performance of the week. It was that good 12 months or so ago. Things didn't really work out for him after that. I mean, on the back of that win at Ascot, I thought it was a good thing to turn over Golden Horn in the International at York. He ran poorly on that occasion. He eventually finished fourth, got back on track at Newmarket, and then finished off his season in Kinland. But this time around, back as a 4-year-old, I mean, he quickened up really impressively at Sandown last time when he beat Weston Hymn in the Brigadier Gerard Stakes. And, you know, that proved he was as good as ever. That performance, the bare form, wasn't all that, you know, way behind what he achieved when he won at Royal Ascot.
Yeah.
And he comes here in real good heart. Obviously, there's been a lot of talk about the ground. You know, is it going to be too soft for him? He is a son of Dubawi. He will get away with a little bit of juice in the ground. He just doesn't want genuine soft ground. Good to soft will be fine for time test. And he gets his chance here to prove he's a Group 1 horse. And I think he is, you know, definitely capable of winning this race.
He's the one that's attracted a bit of money in opposition as well. Was 7-2 into 3-1 as we record this. So a few people must be agreeing with you there, Craig. Just completely out of maybe reading too much into it, but Roger Charlton has a second runner in the race in the Khalid Abdullah colours in the shape of Countermeasure, who's a 200-1 shot with no reason. Are they thinking tactically here, thinking that Aidan O'Brien's got bravery in there and they don't want to be caught in a muddling battle? And will a true run race suit time test more than it will the Gurkha, is the question I suppose I'm asking.
I think it would equally would suit them both, really. I think they're both reliant upon a strong pace, a good end-to-end gallop. You know, the Gurkha isn't a horse that instantly quickens, as we've seen at Ascot. He's a horse that, you know, will lengthen and is a galloping, a strong galloping type at this type of distance. And Time Test is a horse, you know, with a good turn of foot that, again, appreciates a sound gallop like he got at Sandown last time. Time Test's two best performances have come off a fast pace in the Tercentenary at Ascot and in the Brigadier Gerard at Sandown. Mm. His figures for both those runs are the best on offer here, Mark. So I think that's why, you know, Roger Charlton has entered another horse in it, a horse that has made the running in the past as well, because he knows a fast pace will bring out the best in Time Test.
All right, good stuff. So Time Test for Craig in the Eclipse then. Let's just have a little bit of a quick summary before you go, Craig. Spin us through your four selections for a nice... good old Saturday.
Yeah, it is a good Saturday, Mark. And in the old Newton Cup at Haydock, Snowano hopefully can get us off to a good start in Lancashire. Brando should take all the beating in the Group 3 sprint at 2 o'clock at Sandown. In the 3:10 at Sandown, Snow Moon for John Gosden and Frankie Dettori. And finally, Time Test to bring home the bacon in the Eclipse.
Superb. Good work, Craig. Thank you very much. Good luck.
Thank
and
you,
enjoy on Saturday.
Thanks.
So there you go, the thoughts of Craig Forsyth on Saturday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:15pm. Luke Elder, Rory Delaghi and John Budden, the team in the studio. We've got all of the action from Sandown and Haydock. Alongside that, we've got Beverley and Leicester in the afternoon. It's Carlisle and Nottingham in the evening on the domestic front, and racing over in Ireland as well from Bellevue. So do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Saturday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.